What'd you think of Dungeons and Dragons?
Dude, it was a blast.
It was. It was refreshing.
I had heard it was like not bad and like good. And I was like, all right, well, that'll be a swell change for like D&D movies.
Right.
And it was really good. Like, Dana and I were like, that was a 2-hour movie. Like, it went by so smooth. Like,
it did.
It never dragged. It had its slow moments, its down moments, but it was never dull. It was never not engaging. It was never not moving things along. Like,
true. I will definitely say that was a movie for this time, and that I don't know if the way that movie was done would have been accepted years ago. I think this is the prime time for an audience like that to accept the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, especially when I was younger, I would have wanted something more serious.
Right.
Because even though it was, you know, in the past, you couldn't really, it felt very modern at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it played with that. It was almost like, it didn't do this, but it almost kind of like winking at the camera at certain parts. Like, you had to be in on the joke with them. And so the way it was done, like I said, I don't know. If they would have tried to pull that off years ago, I don't think it would have worked. Because, like, really, to me, for me, Lord of the Rings ruined these kind of movies. And if you can't outbeat Lord of the Rings, right?
It was the Andor of fantasy movies.
Yes. So it tried a different route. Because I've seen other movies that tried to be serious and it wasn't at the level of Lord of the Rings. And they fell short because of the comparison. Even that new show I didn't care for because it didn't really, you know. And so for them to kind of go a different route, but I heard they worked on it for like 4 years or so, and you could tell in the special effects, they were gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me this, did you notice a cameo? Well, not the cameo that everybody knows about. From the cartoon? Yes.
Yeah, no, I caught that even in the trailer. I was like, wait a minute.
I didn't watch too many trailers. I was trying to be good on it. Okay.
And I vaguely recall watching that show as a kid, but I was like, I know exactly what that's from.
Okay.
I know exactly who those people are.
Uh-huh.
And I was pointing out to Dana that particular like reference, and I was like, and they didn't get killed in the arena. Like,
right. Right.
The other party, there's just a bunch of nobodies. They all got picked off. But
right,
like,
right. And so, yeah, so I thought it was pretty pretty cool.
They did an amazing job of, they took the setting seriously. They weren't mocking the setting and doing the winks there, but mm-hmm. the situations that just arose were humorous and funny. And they got their humor through that way.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, but the characters were funny and kind of like, you know, smart asses and kind of off-putting and they kind of leaned into their
personality. Doesn't get any jokes.
right. And they kind of leaned into their personalities and stuff, which kind of really added to it. Yeah, so it's good to, yeah, Chris Pine and all that. And yeah, it was fun. It was fun. I didn't know what to think. I was kind of hoping, because like I said, the one trailer I did see, you know, it could have been coin tossed. It could have been either way.
Right.
And you know.
Because I saw the trailer and I was like,
right.
I've been burned before. I'm like, everything looks nice. But it's like, I don't know. I don't know.
Especially when you're trying to go the funny route. And that could, you know, if it's not funny the right way.
Right.
And if you're kind of saying that we are silly for watching this kind of thing, like,
love it as much as we do.
Right. And then you could be funny and get away with it. And that's what I felt this did. It felt like it was made with love. And that's why they kind of got away with the way it was done.
Like that chonky ass dragon.
yeah.
And that whole under the Underdark sequence was so well done.
Yes.
It was really good. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's like, oh, this is an overweight dragon, but it was great. We had an absolute blast.
Yeah. And the characters were cool and stuff, and it was just, it was fun. And yeah,
I wish I could say the same about this episode we're going to talk about.
Interesting.
It's ironic, too, that we went and saw the Dungeons & Dragons movie today, because it's like, oh, character arcs with payoff and setup. Like, yes.
Yeah.
Did it, like, yes.
Yeah.
Did it so well. Jesus. Yeah. For a fucking D&D movie.
That was hard to pull off. Very hard to pull off.
They did it. They fucking stuck that landing. Like, and like, you can kind of see, like, he's gonna have to give up what he wants. right? And it's like, I can see that coming with the dragonfly and da da da. And it's like, oh, there it is. There he's, oh, he's gonna have to do what's right for his daughter, not what's right for him.
Especially when he was talking.
Oh, tears are running.
Especially when he came to realization that he was trying to save his wife, not her mother. Oh, like, wow.
I was like, oof. Wow. There's some honesty. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, no, they did a great job.
Do you watch Picard?
You know, I don't have Paramount Plus. I watched a lot of, what was it, Red Letter Media. And they do like reviews of shows and stuff. And they are huge Star Trek nerds. Like,
so either they really didn't like it or they
gotta understand are they very that, forgiving that Mike and Rick have done like their like 2 hour long episodes of their 10 favorite Next Gen episodes.
Like, then I'm very curious what they thought, because it seemed like a lot of people who liked
season one and season two
didn't care for this show.
Season one and season two was fucking trash. There's another guy that I follow that like talks about Star Trek all the time, and he was just like, what the fuck is this for season one and season two? But
yeah, season three,
everything that I've seen is season three is like, this is what we were promised. It's fucking amazing. I still haven't seen it. I've seen some recaps and it's sounds fucking dope.
I am loving it, and it's just like, and you made me suffer through two seasons of that crap for not finally get this, and this is supposed to be like it. This is supposed to be it
with a joke of a plot and like no character progression or anything, and it's now you bring back all these established characters and we've got plot, we've got unified overlapping character progression, you got some deep shit these characters are working through, like what was it, Riker having to leave Troy because their kid died and he like just saw no point in the universe anymore, and just like, Geordi,
even though Picard asking for help, Geordi kind of like, I can't fool with you guys because you guys are reckless. I got a family now I gotta care about. You can't be dragging my family into this mess. Just different stuff going on, man.
Right?
It's amazing. I've been loving this third season. I'm on episode 8. I think it's like eight episodes so far. This season has been incredible, man. All the people that they bringing back and stuff, and the way they did it, and just like,
I saw a scene. Oof. I've seen their review of like the first three episodes, and they were like, "What? How is this? Why is this so good?" And it's like, it has a beginning, middle, end. It's its own contained arc. Like da da da. It's setting up other stuff. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's Shapeshifters, the Dominion's back. Mm-hmm. Nice.
They brought so much stuff back from Deep Space Nine. They brought stuff back, man, dude.
But they brought back Tuvok. So I saw. Okay. I don't know how much longer a scene it is, but it's Seven talking to Tuvok and be like, "Hey, about that time with da da da, and about this, and about that, and about this." And he's like, "Yeah, da da da, da da." And he's like, "Yeah, that's why I know you're fucking not Tuvok because ding, 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 ding." And he's like, "Haha, well played."
And
we're coming for you, and we're gonna torture the shit out of you. And it's like, yo, the Dominion's pissed.
Yes.
I mean, like, I don't know about anything else that's going on, but like, man, I don't think he's alive anymore, is he?
Who?
I think he passed away. The guy that played Odo.
Yeah, he passed.
Oh man.
His name's Renee something.
Yeah, Renee.
But they did a cameo of him. They stuck a picture of him when they were talking about the DNA of a changeling and stuff.
They had it on the screen.
They had like a little picture of him. So they had That's him on there.
Dope. There, you know, I remember this is like a few years ago. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go back and rewatch Deep Space Nine. And I got through season one. And season one, like, you know, a lot of shows.
It's rough in the beginning.
It's rough. It's rough. But
Deep Space Nine didn't get good until he shaved his head and got his gold teeth. Then he was on point.
So they have this first episode of season two, and they've set up already in season one that like Odo likes Kira, right? Mm-hmm. And of course he like has no idea how to express that, and it's gonna be like seasons before he like reveals his feelings and all that sort of stuff. But it's set up at the end of season two that she's gonna get transferred out to Bajor and she's leaving. And so season two, episode one, we come back and there's this amazing scene that's in Kira's apartment and Odo shows up and he's like trying to sort of struggle with like maybe going like, hey, I kind of like you, like really. And but then another one of the officers shows up and they start to like, oh hey, would you make sure you take this, da da da. And another officer shows up and another, and O'Brien shows up and mm-hmm. and you know they're all there except for the captain. And it's one of those amazing ensemble scenes where everybody's sort of talking and doing a thing and they're absolutely like firing off in character. And it just like you, it's still this scene about Odo trying to find a way to make her not go, but every other character's doing their thing in character, and it's just like this amazing scene, and it just like blew my fucking mind that they all just like were firing on all cylinders with this scene. Like, you don't see really amazing, like busy but comprehensible scenes like that where everybody's doing a thing. It's like usually you have a big scene where it's like we're gonna focus on two people and there's probably some stuff going on in the background, but this was like staged almost like a play. It was all one shot, right? And it's like it's not quite a, it's like a mid wide shot, so like everybody's in frame. Like, I don't know why, but that just so stuck with me. I got like four or five more episodes into the season and I fell off my kick, but like that stuck with me of like this scene just from like an acting standpoint of everyone hitting their mark and doing their lines, just on fire. And it's such the weird thing to even like think of like, wow, look at all of them talking, and like you can still track the key tension of the scene, which is Odo wants to convince her to stay, and it just becomes more and more impossible for him to make that happen, and he has to give up, and it's just like, oh,
that's funny. I love scenes like that, and that's why I liked a lot of Josh Whedon's work, because he would do that in Buffy a lot.
Oh yeah,
the same thing with Angel, with multiple things, multiple people talking over each other, around each other and stuff.
He managed those things really well.
Yes, he does. He did the same thing in Avengers movie. Yeah, he did the
read
same
my mind,
thing.
I'm right? Like, the whole like we're getting angrier at each other.
Exactly. Exactly. He keeps it moving. It's just like you don't
Bruce,
get lost.
Why are
in
you
it.
Holding the scepter?
Yeah. I'm not holding the scepter. What do you mean? You know, like yeah. So yeah. So. That's right on. I gotta recheck out that. Yeah, but definitely watching this season three of Picard has had me, you know, going back looking at little clips and stuff on YouTube and making me want to go back just to watch the shows again. But they're doing a beautiful job, and it's just like it's so good to see them all together. And when they see each other or come across each other, the approach for each other. So the ones that was really cool for each other has a deeper kind of like hug it out kind of thing, and the other ones are like, you know. Because they all were cool, but it's just interesting, the ones who like jumps up like, hey, and the other ones are just kind of like, you know, good to see you, sir, you know. So it's interesting to see.
I saw, what was it, Geordi's scene when he teleports in,
yeah,
and he has this sort of like cold demeanor.
Yes.
And it's Picard,
yeah,
and
yeah,
Crusher. And he's like, the appropriate protocol would, you know, not be the hug and da 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 da, you know, good friends. And then he's just like, but, and then he hugs Crusher.
Right,
and I think, and I don't know if I caught the rest of the thing, but it seems like he's a little colder towards Picard,
yes,
a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's.
Yeah, that's the whole thing about the endangerment part and all this other kind of stuff. And you got stuff to lose now, and you know.
And it's like, here, there's my daughter. Don't get her killed.
Actually, he has two daughters. And one is already on the ship with Picard and everybody in that situation. And his other one beamed up with him. They do like almost like museum/library of all the history of all the ships and the retired vessels and stuff like that. And dude, yeah,
I but might have good. To like just get a subscription for a month and then just cancel it. Yeah. Assuming I'm gonna watch all the episodes, god, I feel like hopefully because I'm pretty sure the guy that sort of got put in charge for season one and season two, I think he's also like one of like JJ's protege people, or came out of like JJ's workshop and like worked on Lost and all this. And I don't know how the fuck he keeps getting hired.
You talking Kiba? Nah, that's a guy I don't like. He be messing up shows. Now he does some. No, now he's awful. And so the guy who's the showrunner for the third season, is he the same one that's been doing the first two?
I don't think so. Let me check here. So I'm looking
if
at.
You told me that they changed up showrunners for the third season, I would believe it, because this has been incredible versus what we've been having before. But Akiva Goldsman, I don't like.
It's not even so much the writers, it's like I want the producers. Let me see if it's this Akiva.
But Akiva Goldsman, he did stuff like that. Titans, he did Batman and Robin, the one with George Clooney and stuff.
Dude, he did. Wow, he's done a lot of stuff. Virtuosity, I think I saw there.
Which one? For who?
Akiva Goldsman? Okay. Or maybe. Oh, no, that's a different. That's a different thing. Michael Chabon.
He did stuff like Dark Tower. He's a producer on that. Like I said, stuff he does,
I gotta wonder, like, what it took to get this shift. Okay, I see him in this picture. Alex Kurtzman. I don't know. I could be totally wrong. Nope. Star Trek. He's a producer on Star Trek the movie. Sleepy Hollow, The Mummy. Let's go. Here we go.
But you don't like him?
As an executive producer, anything that I've sort of seen him associated with is like a really hit or miss. He's listed as showrunner for Star Trek Discovery. That one. Showrunner for A Man Who Fell to Earth. I haven't heard bad things about that. But like, yeah, I've never been sort of... Oh, man. Co-executive producer of Hercules, The Legendary Journeys. Also, Xenia, Warrior Princess. All right, he's not all bad. But he worked on Alias.
I've never gotten to that.
Oh, man, I ate that stuff up back in the day. Why, Kevin? Why, Kevin Sorbo, did you have to go and become a crazy right-wing conservative Christian?
I can't even deal with that Hercules, because I was like, he's so thin. How could I'll use Lou Ferrigno. So when I saw him, I couldn't get past how he was supposed to be strong. I don't know. Even though I like Buffy, and she's like a little kid, and she was strong, right? But I couldn't.
Magic.
He wasn't my Hercules. How about that?
Power of the gods. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever change happened and who's calling the shots with Picard show, thank God. Like, at least we're getting this season, right?
Yeah.
I can't imagine Patrick Stewart kicking on for another one. Like, again, with, like, Christopher Lloyd, like, seemingly being too old. Like, man, Patrick Stewart's way up there.
He is. And you know what? You could kind of tell that he's old. He's really old.
Yeah.
And you can see how he's always kind of sitting down, you know, at times. But you forgive him because, you know, but he's still trying to do his thing. Very cool to see him. But it's almost kind of like seeing him in Picard. It's like, no way he could be doing like Professor X or anything else. Like, let him go. I know he's tired. I know he's tired.
Right.
Got to be tired. And no disrespect to him, but he has to be tired. But yeah.
Maybe at some point I'll fucking catch the Ant-Man movie. I still haven't seen it.
Good luck with that.
I'm sure it's out of theaters like any moment now.
Please. I hope so. Like I said,
not impressed. Not impressed.
No, I wasn't. It's just like, because it should have been better, but you know, I expected more, and it was just, you know, a lot of CGI, a lot of.
Yeah, I heard the CGI was a little too much.
You know, just people running around, and you got this, you know, screen in the back, and dismissive of the people who's currently there, so they can implement, you know, new people. And
oh, they're setting up his daughter, because it's gonna be all the young X-Men,
and it's just like, come on, you come on, you could do that without spitting on the person you're getting rid of. You know what I mean? But it's just like all of a sudden somebody just, you know, you're just not hip anymore. Well, hip is not what keeps you going, it's wisdom. You know? So handing off is a different thing than just kind of being like, oh, you know. It was interesting. It was interesting. And then you also know that, you know, something's supposed to happen in the movie. You could tell. It's a logical answer for it, but you could tell they reshot and changed the ending. And it's just like, oh. Okay.
Mm. Well, the other fun thing, too, is... I'm going to remember her name. So, the evil Imperial comms officer, Alia. Mm-hmm. She's actually in Ant-Man.
She is.
I was like, because when I was looking her up last time, I was like, wait a minute, is that a still from Ant-Man?
Yeah, she's one of the alien people. And yeah, they tried to make a Tim Gunn type movie / Taika Waititi. They try to make those kind of movies where you have all these fanciful characters and they're just kind of like weird characters running around, but you care for them and you want to see more of them. But if it's not in the right hands, it's like, who are these dumbass characters? And please get them off the screen.
Right.
They didn't have any heart. They were just in the way. They were in the way. But in the hands of somebody else, that would have been brilliant.
Yeah, because the Guardians are goofball weirdos.
Exactly. But even what you call it, even James Gunn's, what you call it, Suicide Squad, the second one. Even that, he always have offbeat characters that you kind of care for. They might get on your nerves and be, you know, jerks, but you still like them. And so to have a movie full of these kind of characters and they getting on your nerves and you want them off the screen, but you are in their world, so you can't avoid them.
Not the right tone, not the right reaction.
Like, let me out. Get me off this. I want off this floor.
I want off this ride.
Yeah. So,
Jesus.
Yeah, it's just like, man. You know, all I wanted was what's his name to be on there. And I think he would have made it better. What's his friend that be kind of giving a synopsis of the whole movie?
Oh, yeah.
That's who they should have had up in there.
Oh, man.
Matter of fact, I wish he would have got transported to the world.
And just be like, hey.
And be like, where you been, man, the whole time?
We're going to summarize this whole movie.
Right, like, what happened? And then she met this dude named King. I don't know if they did or not, but blah, blah, blah. But he would just give, you know, it would just be like one of those kind of things where they got pulled in and they got separated off to some other kind of place. And then he wondered if they died. And he's like, where'd he go? And he's in the planet with some chick or whatever. And he knows the whole lowdown of what's going on.
Okay, so I'm at this art museum with my cousin Ignacio, right? And there was this like abstract expressionism exhibit. But you know me, I'm more like a neo-cubist kind of guy, right? But there was this one Rothko that was sublime, bro. Oh my God. But anyway, and Ignacio tells me, yo, I met this crazy fine writer chick at the spot last night. Like fine, like crazy stupid fine. And he goes up to the bartender and goes, look at the girl I'm with. You know what I'm saying? She's crazy stupid fine, right? And the bartenders are all like, yeah, crazy stupid fine.
Right, he knows the whole lowdown for the whole. I'm like, dude, how'd you figure out all this stuff with all this kind of stuff? Oh, I know people.
My buddy, so and so.
Exactly. Exactly. So how do you know about King and all this other kind of stuff? Oh, you know, and start putting it together. And that would have just kind of deflated everything and made it just kind of funny. Just like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Right.
His crazy ass being pulled into the madness of this other realm or whatnot, you know. That's what I would have did, but whatever. But yeah, when you see it, it'd be interesting. Let me know what you think. But yeah, I didn't go see it again. And I didn't buy it. So
was at least Kang good?
The best part.
Okay, cool. All right, because
best part
that would make me really worry because clearly Kang's supposed to be the next big bad. So if he was out of the gate, then
let me say this. All right, Thanos. Right. What if Ant-Man beat Thanos?
Well, I'm guessing Ant-Man beats Kang. But the thing is like, which Kang? This is the problem with Kang is that, like, there's tons of Kangs. Because it's the multiverse.
Well, this particular Kang looked like the Kang from the comic books. The comic book accurate one. Not the one that didn't look like the comic books that was on Loki. But this looked like the one.
The blue force field face. Yeah, exactly. The vertical line.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, I do love now that, like, I feel like Loki was definitely the indication where I think for everything that came after that with Marvel movies or TV shows that are like, we can have whatever outfits we want. Because Loki had all the Loki variants, and Loki had the 100% comic book accurate ridiculous Loki, and it was fucking amazing.
And then the actor they had too, it was perfect.
Goddamn, nailed it.
It was perfect.
Well, and you know, back to my complaint about this episode is like they took that character and in like one episode took Loki's glorious purpose line and turned it into the biggest fucking gut punch ever. Right? Like that. Nah. Yeah. What could have been? Coulda, shoulda, woulda. Didn't.
Didn't. But yeah. All right. All right.
Hey, it's Jay. If you enjoyed my conversation with Ryan, please check out our episodes where we talked about The Mandalorian, The Book of Boba Fett, Spider-Man No Way Home, and the movie Batman. Thanks for listening, and until next time, peace.